Hello and welcome. Thanks for joining us here at Believers Victory Church. Today we have an inspiring, powerful message that will change your life. Let's listen in as Pastor Peggy Heal teaches us from the Word of God.
Glory to God. I tell you, I'm excited this morning. Got a good message, follow up on last week, because it's a very important message. Every message is important, but this is a super important one. Can we say that? Super important. It's super important, because if you don't get this one, none of the other ones are going to make sense. You're not going to think you deserve any of the other ones. And that is, you got to know that God loves you. Amen. Amen. You got to know it. You got to know it. And I said in first service, and it's so true, when you know something, it's not just information. But when you really know something, you live something. Has anybody ever talked to somebody, you're trying to get them to understand something, and they just keep going, I know. I know, I know, right? Anybody like that? And you just want to go, you don't know. Because if you did know, you'd be doing it because it's so good. And so we want to make sure that the knowledge of God's love for us is not just information, but it has become transformation. It's changing our lives. It's changing how we live. It's changing how we respond to things. It's changing the relationships that we're in. It's changing our confidence with God. It's changing everything, because the love of God does that. When you know and you understand just how big it is. Amen? Amen. The number one thing to understand about the love of God is that nobody deserves it. Nobody deserves it. You know, I know we got some super spiritual people in here. I got some bad news for you. You don't deserve it either. You're right here with the rest of us. Right? You don't deserve, none of us deserve it, because we've all screwed up. Everybody in here is messed up. Some of us a whole lot. Some of us were, you know, babies, not much, you know, but all of us have messed up. Look at your neighbor and say, you know you have. You know it. You know. Oh, you know. All right, now don't tell them how they messed up, right? We've all messed up, and that's why we receive God's love, not based on us, based on Him and how good He is. The Bible tells me that He has loved me with an everlasting love. That means His love for me will never change, it will never diminish, it won't get weaker. You know, there's not somebody watching over you, watching every move you make, like, oh, that was no good. God didn't love you today. That's how people are. People can be like that, where they only love you when you're doing well. They only love you when you got money. They only love you when you can do something for them. That's the only time they love you. That's how some people are. And that's not healthy, and that's not good. But God's love for us is not like that at all. God's love for us, the Bible says that God's love for us is so great that even while we were sinners, Christ died for us. Even when we were at our worst, God loved us the most. Amen? But you know, the good news is, God loves me the most today. God loves me the most tomorrow. God loves me the most the next day. But some of us have this idea that God loves a future version of you. Right? God loves the you that's going to get their act together. God loves the you that's going to, you know, fix this. And God loves the you that's going to stop that. No, God loves the you that's right here today. God loves that you. God loves that you just as much as He loves anybody else. God loves us. And you know how we can know how great of an understanding of this principle we have is really how we respond to God, how we respond to Him. Jesus didn't come to give us a religion. He came to give us a relationship. And how many know there are healthy relationships and unhealthy relationships? We want to make sure that we've got a healthy relationship with God. And so I want to tell you a story about two guys who both screwed up. So all of us can say, all right, I can relate, right? Two guys who both messed up. They both walked with Jesus. They both heard the teachings of Jesus. They both served Jesus. They both did for approximately the same amount of time. One of the guys we're going to talk about is Peter. How many know Peter? He's the guy that walked on water. He's the guy who shadow healed people. He's that guy. He's also the guy, what else do we know about him? He's the guy that denied Jesus 3 times. Right before Jesus was going to go to the cross, he said to Peter, before the rooster crows, you'll deny me three times. And what did Peter say? He said, nope, I would never do that. I would never do that. I'm sure there's some of us in here today that we've told God, I would never do that. I would never do that. And the next thing you know, we're like, whoops, I did that. And so Peter did that not one time, not two times, but three times. He did something that he swore he wouldn't do. That she was shocked that he did it. But he did it nonetheless. He really messed up. And then now if you think about this is Peter who walked on water with Jesus. He wasn't a casual acquaintance of Jesus, right? He was a disciple, a follower. He was sold out to Jesus. But when people came to him and said, Are you with that Jesus? Are you with him? What did he say? No, I don't even know him. It's not me. You have me mistaken for somebody else. It's not me. And so he did that three times. So we would all say that was a pretty big mess up. Pretty big mess up. And then we have Judas. How many know Judas? Now Judas also walked with Jesus. He also served Jesus. But these two had very different relationships. One had a healthy relationship. One had an unhealthy relationship. If you ever notice and you follow Judas through the scripture and you see how he acted with Jesus, he was always saying, well, why did you do that? Why did you do that? We should have done it this way. He had a heart issue. But here's what I want us to look at. When Judas, the Bible tells us that Judas betrayed Jesus. He betrayed him for money. And after he realized what he had done, the Bible says that Judas ran off and hung himself. And so he responded to his mess up very differently from Peter. Because I want to tell you what Peter did after he messed up. And I want you to ask yourself, what would I do? You say, I'm not saying anybody is in here a Judas. And I'm not saying anybody in here is a Peter. I'm Peggy. This is Angie. This is Angel. This is Chris. This is Devon. I mean, I could go all the way through. This is all of us. What is my personal story? What is my relationship like with Jesus? Because I want to look at Peter's relationship, and I want to look at Judas's relationship, and I want to learn from these guys and say, hey, I want to have a healthy relationship with God. Amen. And the only way you can have a healthy relationship with God is if you know how much he loves you. You got to know how much he loves you. And so here's Peter. He messes up. But here's the thing I want us to see. The very next time, the first time that he saw Jesus after messing up, the very first time, he was in a boat and Jesus was on the shore. Now, he had told Jesus, I would never do that. You're wrong. I would never do that. But yet he did it, not once, but three times. So the very first time that he sees Jesus, he's in the boat. Jesus is on the shore. The Bible says he's cooking fish on the shore. Jesus is there. Peter doesn't even wait for the boat to get to the shore. The Bible says that he took off his coat, jumped in the water, and ran to meet Jesus and embraced him. That's pretty powerful, isn't it? Because what do some of us do? When we really mess up, like if we mess up with somebody, you know, we forget to make the deposit at the bank and all their checks bounce. Right? Or we forget to, you know, let their dog out or whatever. You know, just whatever we do, and next time we see him, we're like, oh, man, you know, oh, I can't even face him. I don't want to talk to him. And so how many relationships have ended because somebody couldn't face somebody after messing up? How many people have stopped coming to church because they screwed up and they feel like they can't walk back in? I know some. I was one. Because, you know, when you come to church and then you screw up and then you come back to church, there's always that one person. That one person that just says the wrong thing to you. But you got to ignore that person. And you got to come anyway. But how many of us, when we mess up, we're kind of like, oh, I can't even deal with it. I can't even go there. You know what that shows? It shows an unhealthy relationship. Because that's what Judas did. Once he messed up, he had the opportunity to come back to Jesus. Jesus still treated him with love and kindness, even when he knew what he was going to do. When they were at the Last Supper, Jesus said he knew who was going to betray him. Right? But he still was kind. When Judas betrayed Jesus with the kiss, Jesus was still kind. Judas could have come back. Because there is no sin, there is no wrong, there is no mistake that you cannot come back to God from. There is none. And so some of you in here today, you've read a little bit of the Bible and you think your head just went, what about the unpardonable sin? How many thought of that? What about it? Well, you guys don't read your Bible? You know, the unpardonable, or you know what it is? You're just so well taught, you know what it is. The only way you can do the unpardonable sin is if you have no desire to come back and you are fully knowledgeable and understanding of the Bible, which probably none of us would qualify. That's the only way. As long as you want to come back to God from anything, even Judas could have come back, you can come back. That's how much he loves you. And so we see with Judas and we see with Peter how two guys who were in the same circle, heard the same messages, kind of went to the same church. You could say that. These two guys, how one of them had a very healthy relationship with Jesus. Peter knew that Jesus would be glad to see him, that would forgive him, that would restore him. And here's a really cool part about God. Out of all the disciples that God could have used to be the first one to preach after Jesus was ascended into heaven, the first one to preach on the day of Pentecost, guess who he picked? Peter. I think it's God's way of showing us you can come back from any screw-up.
Amen.
Amen. You can come back. The plan of God for your life does not change because you mess up. Some of you need to be like, whoo, thank you, Jesus. Right? Whoo, thank you, Lord. I remember before I went to Bible college, I was supposed to go several years before I went. And just sin and wrong and crazy got into my life. And the enemy kept telling me, now keep in mind, I'm only about 22 years old, right? And I'm supposed to go to Bible college, supposed to leave, quit my job, ready to go. I don't go. The enemy constantly is telling me, you blew it. You messed up the plan of God for your life. That opportunity has passed by. And this is what he said, it's too late for you. I'm only 22. But you know what? When you're 22, you're really not that bright when you're 22. 22-year-olds, I love you, I care about you, but it's just the truth, okay? You know, when it comes to the experience of life. Because at the time, I believed it. I was like, oh, that's great. You know, as the plan of God has totally been bypassed, and I can never walk out the plan of God for my life because I have screwed up so bad, and I can't come back from this. What was wrong? I had an unhealthy relationship with God. I did not understand his love for me. I did not understand that his love was so great and so big and so huge and so not dependent on me, that there was no pit that I could put myself into, that I could fall into, that I could be pushed into, that the loving arms of God could not reach down, pull me up. The Bible says that he pulled me out of the pit and he set my foot on the rock and he established my going. Amen. And it was when I got a hold of that verse and I thought, man, God will pull me out of the pit. And he won't just pull me out and go like, well, do the best you can. You know, you've royally screwed up. So just do the best you can, Peggy. Do the best you can. No, he set my foot on the rock, on the solid rock of him. He set my foot on solid ground. And the next part I love, he established my going. Oh, it's so good. Man, the love of God, when you get it, there is shame cannot stick to you. Amen. It can't stick to you because the love of God just washes it away. And I am so passionate about telling people about the love of God, and here's why. Because I have been the person who was in church, on fire for God, loved God, taught Bible studies, on their way to Bible college, and then just fell off the face of the earth, face planted down into a pit of gross, disgusting sin, nearly died more than one time from just crazy, crazy, crazy life. Sandy was there. She can tell you about it. Angela was there. She can tell you about it, too. Oh, you were with me. No. I'll tell you, I remember one time, I showed up at a party at somebody's house, and Angela was there, and we were both like, what are you doing here? And I was like, don't tell anybody. Just don't tell anybody. Don't tell anybody you saw me. But But the thing is that I've been that person. I've been that person that the enemy will come and say, oh, this is it. You, because of this, because of this, because of this, you can't come back. But thank God. Thank God. Somebody told us both about the love of God and that God's love. The Bible tells us in Ephesians, Paul prays that we would know and understand. It's not enough to know it. You got to understand it. And then he says you got to experience it. Just because you can sing the song, Jesus loves me, this I know. For the Bible tells me so. Just because you can sing that doesn't mean you know that. Because you know what? I bet Judas could sing that. I bet Judas could. Because he walked with Jesus. He learned from Jesus. But he didn't understand the love of God, because if he did, he would have known that Jesus would take him back. There is nothing you can't come back from. Nothing. Oh, thank God. Amen. Thank God. There's nothing you can't come back from. But we got to know that God loves us. And you know, we live in a love-starved world, man. People are so starved for love, and they're getting it in all the wrong places. And here, you know, and I'm not anti anything. I'm not anti social media. I'm not anti TV. I like TV. I like social media. But listen, if your level of love and acceptance comes from how many likes you have, you got a problem. Amen. You got a problem. If you're getting, you know, all of us have a love tank. There's a tank on the inside of each one of us, and it needs to be continually filled with love. And when it's not filled, we go out and we start looking for it in the wrong places. And there are so many people that are trying to get their love tank filled from who they are online, from what they look like, from what possessions they have. And we talked about these last week, those masks, they're temporary love masks. They're not the real thing, they're the fake thing. And they don't last. They don't last. You may have 100 likes today, but tomorrow you may not have any. You may have followers today and tomorrow nothing. You may look good today, in 10 years, maybe not so good. Right? Or fight, whatever it takes, right? You're like, man, I used to look so good, but now, what happened? What happened? But you know, if your love tank is filled by, say, oh, you're so beautiful, you're this, someday that's not going to be there. And you're going to be lost and you're going to be hurting. You say, man, what happened to all my friends? I got 500 friends on Facebook. Where are they all at? Listen, those friends on Facebook can't do what God can do for you. Amen? Because here's what the love of God does. The love of God, remember the Sunday last week we talked about? That milkshake? I'm still thinking about that thing. Right? The love of God fills us up on the inside, and then he fills up all the cracks and all the holes and all that stuff, so that when nobody likes us, because that day's going to come, nobody's going to like you. Do you know that they say out of all the people that you meet, 20% of those will dislike you intensely? Some people, probably a little more, right? Yeah. You're probably thinking like 20%, that's it? Seems like more. No, but studies show that out of all the people that you meet, 20% of them will dislike you intensely. And so you know what? On some days, it's going to feel like all you see are those 20%. But when the love of God has filled you on the inside, you can get through that. It's not going to destroy you. When the love of God has filled you on the inside, those things that we used to get our fulfillment from, when they're no longer there, they're no longer available, or they've been taken from us, and that happens, the love of God will sustain you. Amen. It will keep you strong. And that's why it's so important. You got to know how much God loves you. You got to know. And so let's look in the Word, and let's see how much God loves us. You guys ready? Turn over to Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 17. This is Paul writing. And in case you didn't know, the book of Ephesians, most of it are prayers that Paul is praying for believers. And so if you're here today and you say, man, I need prayer. Well, then go read the book of Ephesians, starting in chapter 3, and read those prayers over you. Amen? Doesn't that sound good? How many think Paul knew how to pray? So when we pray his prayers, we're going to get some good prayers. And so here in Ephesians chapter 3, verse number 17, I'll just read it to you. I want to read it to you out of the Living Bible. It says, Paul says, I pray that you be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is, and to experience this love for yourself. You've got to make God's love personal. Personal. It's easy to think that God loves Angel. It's easy. Oh yeah, God loves Angel. Why? Because number one, his name is Angel. Right? God loves him. I mean, he serves at the church and he's got 100 kids and they all love him. And you know, and he's so perfect. And you know, it's easy. It's easy to say, oh yeah, God loves Angel. But it needs to be just as easy to say, God loves Peggy. Say that. Say God loves and say your name. God loves Peggy. Oh, let's say it a little loud. God loves Peggy. God loves you. Yes. You got to make God's love personal. And that's what Paul's writing here. He's saying, I pray that you, not just your pastors, not your Bible study leader, not the Pulse leader, I pray that you be able to feel and understand how long, how wide, how deep, and how high his love really is. And to experience this love for yourself. God wants you to experience his love. Amen? The Bible says in 1 John chapter 4, verse number 16, it says, God is love. So it's not just something he does. It's who he is. It's who God is. You know, the Bible never says God is power, although God has power. But it doesn't say that. It only says God is love. Because without love, nothing else matters. Amen. Nothing else matters. God is love. And when we see, I want to look at Psalms 23. How many know this by heart? You know this one. Lots of us in here, we know Psalms 23 by heart. But I want us to see here today that I think that John 3:16 we looked at last week, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whoever believes in him shall not perish, say the rest with me, but have everlasting life. God so loved you when you were at your worst. Amen? But then God doesn't just get you saved and then be like, oh, I'm done with you. God didn't rescue you and just set you up and say, okay, do the best you can until I get back. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad God didn't just say, hey, listen, hang in there until I come back to get you and take you to heaven. Hang in there. Do the best you can. God didn't do that. He promised, because his love for us is so great, he takes care of us here and now. He has prepared a place for us in heaven. Aren't you glad about that? Aren't you glad that's where you're going? There's a mansion up there with your name on it. I don't know about your mansion, but my mansion's already filled with dogs. All the dogs that have gone on to heaven, do not question me about this. Dogs do go to heaven. I believe it. And cats too, for my friend Beverly, cats too. All my dogs that have gone on to be in heaven, they're up in my mansion. They're sitting on the couch. They're waiting for me. They're waiting for me to get there. Pookie, how many remember Pookie? Yeah. Pookie's up there, right? Some of you are like, who? Best dog ever. Best dog. Not really, but she was a good, she was her own dog. She was her. I think Chris dog sat for her once. But God, we got a mansion in heaven, and there is a place for us. But how many need help here and now? Yeah. Amen. You need help here and now. And so often as Christians, we think, oh, I'm saved. I'm on my way to heaven. That's all God's done for me. No, God has empowered you. He loves you right here, right now, to give you all that you need to make it right here on this earth. Amen? God didn't leave you here to eat the scraps and not have any good stuff. He didn't do that. Jesus said, I came that you may have a life and a life more abundantly. That's right here on this earth. That's where Jesus wants to give you a good life. Heaven's already taken care of. But here's the thing. We can know that God loves us. Jesus loves me. This I know. Right here from Psalms 23. It says, the Lord is my shepherd. We could stop right there and be like, oh, that's all I need. The Lord is my shepherd. Here's the thing about sheep. You guys ready? Now, I'm getting ready to do, beginning in March, I'm going to do a whole series on Psalms 23. And we're all going to learn all about sheep. Because here's the thing. The Bible constantly calls us sheep. It says we are the sheep of his pasture. He is our shepherd. But here's the thing about sheep. You ready? Don't be insulted. It's God. If you're going to be mad at somebody, be mad at God. Here's the thing about sheep. They're dumb. Sheep are not bright. Out of all of the animals that God could have said, could have showed us, because he's trying to show us who we are, and he's like, listen, you're like sheep. You're like sheep. Because the people he's talking to, they all know sheep, because sheep are everywhere. That's like the number one job of this time. Now, we don't know anything. All the only sheep we know are the one on the mattress commercial, right? Right? That's the only sheep we know. But if you learn about sheep, you'll realize, number one, they're not bright. They're not very bright. And they require constant attention. Constant. A shepherd needs to be with his sheep all the time. Because if he's not, here's why they need constant attention. They scatter easily. They get themselves in trouble. They get themselves in holes. They fall in. They will fall right off a cliff because sheep have terrible eyesight. And here's a really interesting fact about sheep that I just recently learned. You guys ready? Even though they have knees, how many have knees? Bend your knee a little bit, right? They don't use them. True story. They don't use them. They work. Like, you know, they study them and everything. They're like, these work, but they don't use them. You ever seen a sheep? They're like this. That'd be like us, like, you know, you can't sit down. You just kind of lean up against things. Somebody says, hey, what's wrong with your knees? Nothing. How come you don't use them? I just don't use them. That's what sheep do. But you know, when I learned that, I thought to myself, how many of us as believers, there are so many truths in the Word of God that we don't use? Starting to see why God calls us sheep. Because there's a whole lot in His Word. We got it. You know, you have provision from God. You have healing from God. You have forgiveness from God. You have redemption. You have righteousness. You have all that. It's all included with salvation. But there's many of you in here, you're still walking around with shame from your past. You're not using that righteousness. Many of you are still living in poverty, not trusting God. You're not using your provision. Many of you look living in fear, afraid of everything. You're not using your protection that God gives you. Amen. So we're just like those sheep walking around. Say, what's wrong with you? I'm just not using it. So we can really kind of see more clearly why God calls us sheep. Because the more you learn about sheep, the more you think, man, that sounds just like me. And so we see here, it says, the Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. You know how that speaks love to me? Because God knows I need constant attention and he gives it to me. You know why that speaks love to me? Because God knows that just like a sheep, I can't defend myself. Sheep have no defense. They don't have big fangs, they don't have big claws, and they can't run. They're in trouble. They're just like us. Without God, we're in trouble. When I hear the Lord is my shepherd, it speaks such love to me because it shows me that God didn't leave me, that he is attentive to me. The Lord is my shepherd. He's my shepherd. And you know what? When you walk around, some of us are walking around going, oh, does God even know me? Do you even know me? The Bible tells me in John chapter 10, he says, I am the good shepherd. I know my sheep. God knows you. He knows you. He knows every hair on your head. And here's the cool thing about that. Do you know the number of hairs on your head changes every day? Some people a little more dramatically. No offense over there, right? But God knows how many hairs on your head every day. Every day. Listen to these scriptures about how much God loves you. Just listen to this. 1 Peter chapter 5, verse number 7 says, He is always thinking about you, watching everything that concerns you. That's God. He is always thinking about you. The Bible says that in Psalms 145, verse number 17, says, The Lord is loving toward all he has made. Oh, God loves you. He says, I am the good shepherd, and the good shepherd is willing to die for the sheep. And that's exactly what Jesus did for us. He died for us. The Bible tells me over in Romans chapter 8, verse number 39, it says, nothing, say that word with me, nothing, nothing will be able to separate us from the love of God that is in Christ Jesus our Lord. Quit being a Judas and letting your mistakes separate you from God. God's not doing this. He's waiting for you to come. We need to be like Peter. And no matter where we are, no matter what we do, no matter what happens, let's have that healthy relationship that says, I can always come home. Because nothing, God himself said in his word, nothing can separate me from the love of God, which is in Christ Jesus. The good shepherd laid down his life for you. It says in Romans 5:8 says, God has shown how much he loves us. How many want to see how much God loves you? It was while we were still sinners that Christ died for us. You want to know real love? The love that makes everything else just a bonus? The love that stabilizes you in an unstable world? Listen, people need the love of God. We live in a world where people are starved for love and trying to get it all over the place. People are not getting better. They're getting more bitter and more violent. What's the problem? Everybody's looking for love. When you see somebody on TV, you think, man, what is wrong with them? I'll tell you what's wrong with them. They don't know God loves them. Because when you know God loves you, you run to him. Just like Peter. And so if you're here today and you're saying, man, I'm in between. I'm not Judas. Nobody in here is Judas. But I'm not totally Peter yet. Then you need to get into his word. And you need to grab a hold of that prayer that Paul prayed. And you need to pray and say, Lord, I pray that I understand and I feel the width, the length, the depth, and the height of your love, which is for me. Lord, I pray that I experience it, that it's not just head knowledge, it is life, living, transformation, understanding. That's what God wants you to do with his love. Amen? So I encourage you, wherever you're at, here's Peter, here's Judas, wherever you're at on this scale, just say to yourself, we could all grow to be a little more like Peter. And just learn about how much God loves us. There is nothing you can't come back from. God is the author of comebacks. Amen. He is the author of comebacks. And so we need to just get in there and say, Lord, I want to know so much so that it changes me how much you love me. Let's bow our heads and close our eyes. Father, I pray for every person here, just like Paul did, that, Lord, that we would know and understand and feel just how much you love us. Lord, give us a greater understanding. Let us just know it from our head to our toes, from our inside to our out, your great love, which is for us. Lord, if there's anyone here that is struggling, struggling with coming to God because of past mistakes and maybe not feeling worthy, that, Lord, that you would just give them a supernatural understanding that it isn't about them. It's all about you. Lord, just like you were there for Peter, with your arms wide open, you are there for us. You are there with your everlasting love. Your word says that you are my refuge and that your arms of love are beneath me. Lord, I thank you that each one of us walks out of here with a better understanding, a heart knowledge of just how much you love us. Somebody in here today, you're saying, what's how much God's love going to do? I've got an addiction problem. What's how much God loves me going to do? I got a financial problem. What's God's love going to do? I got a marriage problem. Oh, God's love is the foundation to change everything. Everything. He is the rock. He is the rock. And when you put your foot on that rock of his love, everything else he has comes with it. His provision, his wisdom, his healing, his understanding, his power, his favor, everything comes with his love. But his love comes first. If you're here today with every head bowed and every eye closed, and you say, Peggy, I've never received this love. I've heard about it. I've talked about it. But I've never received it. Just like if I had $100 up here and I said, who wants this? You'd raise your hand and say, me, I want it. But you'd have to come and get it. Same thing is true with the love of God, the salvation of God, the rescue of God. He's not going to force himself on you. He's waiting for you to open up your heart and say, Lord, come inside my heart. Live inside of me. Rescue me. Save me. Love me. God's waiting on you. You're not waiting on him. He's waiting on you to say yes to Jesus. Don't think about what you've done and where you've been. None of that matters. Think about what Jesus has done and where he's been. He was on the cross for you. He rose from the dead for you. And now he's sitting at the right hand of the Father for you. All you got to do is say, Jesus, I want what you have for me. Say, how do I receive that? The Bible says, whoever believes on him, when we confess with our mouth and believe with our heart that Jesus is Lord, we are saved. So if you're here today with nobody looking around, just for a minute, out of respect for people, and you say, I need to do that. You know how you open up your heart? By opening up your mouth. When you confess Jesus as your Lord and Savior, you open up not just your mouth, you open up your whole life to him. And he will come in like a flood, because that's what he does. So if that's you today, you say, I need to make that confession. I need to make that declaration that Jesus is Lord of my life. If that's you and nobody looking around, just out of respect for people, raise your hand up big and tall and say, Peggy, that's me. I see your hand, buddy. Anybody else? I see your hand. Anybody else? That's me. I need what Jesus has. Oh, for the sake of the two, raise your hand. Let's all confess this with him, because we're all in this together. Say, Father God, right now, I confess with my mouth that Jesus is the Son of God, that he came, that he died, he rose again, all for me. I believe it. I believe that Jesus is Lord, and I confess him as my Lord and my Savior right now in Jesus' name. Amen. Woo, isn't God good? God is so good. He loves us so much. Oh, I encourage you, if you're like I was, you just had sin and just so much shame and so much guilt. I don't even want to think about that life that I used to live. But man, when I got into the understanding of how much God loved me, all that left. There is no way with the past that I have, there is no way that I could stand up here and preach the gospel without knowing that God loves me. Because the enemy constantly says, you are not qualified, you are not worthy, you are not this, everything he says. And I just say, no, all that is under the blood of Jesus. Amen. And it's Christ in me. It's not me, it's Christ in me. And I encourage you, don't let shame rob another day of your life. Amen? There is nothing you can't come back from. Nothing. Absolutely nothing.